Hello and welcome to another edition of Member Solutions International, known as MSI's monthly teleseminar series. My name is Ali Albarigo, and I'm honored to be with you right now. I have been a Member Solutions lead consultant now for going on 3 years, and I'm truly happy to be working with such a fine group of individuals at the headquarters of Member Solutions, plus all the other people connected with their other offices, such as Kathy and everyone else. Not only do I consult with them, but as you know, I'm also a school owner, so I'm a client as well. My schools have been utilizing all the billing and consulting services for years, and I'm really happy with what I've seen. The growth of what's going on in Member Solutions is amazing, and all the new products and things that are coming out are going to blow you away. Let's jump right into today's topic. The topic is how to keep your school hopping and popping during the summertime. First, let me start by saying that summer is a long time, and you don't ever want to be slow for any period of time in that, you know, that length. So let's talk about some myths right now that perpetuate within our industry and all small businesses. Number one, the first myth is during summer it is slow. Number two, second myth, during the holidays it's slow. And three, during the back-to-school rush it's slow. All of these statements are false, and they're truly myths. Not to say that they don't appear to be true, but in reality they're not. I'm not the host of Mythbusters trying to take something and prove it wrong. I'm simply stating facts based on my experiences. So let's start by identifying some of the issues martial arts school owners come up against in these three time periods that I've mentioned. Number one, summer. Due to the excessive stuff that goes on, such as Little League baseball, soccer, swimming, and all the other activities, attendance may dwindle. But there are more issues at hand than meets the eye than just these activities. It's so much more. So let's first talk about what keeps students active. Remember this quote, if you can. Write this down. If you haven't heard it before, each day, your students are either one step closer to black belt or one step closer to quitting. Write this down again. I'm going to say it one more time. Each day, your students are either one step closer to black belt or one step closer to quitting. Now, I'm not sure of where I first heard this quote, so I can't give proper credit where credit is due, but it's timeless. The key factor to a school's success is keeping the students active. The saying, out of sight, out of mind, is another that comes to mind when I think of the decline of students' attendance. Here's one lesson. If you fall off a horse, the rule is that you get right back on. So why do you think this is true? The answer is simple. If you wait, the mind and body play cruel tricks on you, convincing you of things that will destroy your drive to continue in the specific activity, whether it be horseback riding or martial arts. Each day that clicks by becomes more and more difficult to get yourself back on the horse or back in the martial arts school. So what makes it any different than the martial arts riding a horse? The answer is nothing. And this holds true to anything, relationships, jobs, etc. So a leave of absence for sports in summer is normally a recipe for disaster. The key to this is education, and I'll cover that in a minute. But I want to go over why people quit martial arts schools. And here are the top five reasons why people quit a martial arts school. Number one is lack of excitement. Boredom, lack of stimulation. This doesn't mean that every single class has to be like the first class they ever attended, but it does have to stay interesting. We have to keep the students excited, motivated, and on a quest to be their best. So number one is lack of excitement within the classroom, doing the same old every single day. Number two, lack of progress. This is simple. If a student's not seeing progression in their training, then they're going to quit. The most important thing is to clearly explain what progression is. Recently, I sent out an email to my students and all of my next-level clients on promotions and rank advancement. Regular promotions are important, but they also are a catch-22. They can also turn a positive situation into a negative one. If a student doesn't get their belt, then they feel like they have failed. The Western mentality is if you fail enough, you're considered a failure. This is not necessarily true. Look at all the people that invented things that are monumental, changed the face of history, like the light bulb or the telephone. If they gave up easily and considered themselves failures, then we wouldn't be right now living where we are. The problem is that sometimes parents and students compare themselves to others and really end up losing sight of the goal, which is for them to learn the martial arts and be great and be able to defend themselves and be the best they can be. So lack of progression sometimes simply is just a lack of refocusing their mentality or their ideas on what they believe to be progress. I think parents, quite often parents, get caught up in the rank thing. Johnny got his belt before my son, and my son started sooner. If we could get them to understand that it's not about keeping up with the Joneses, that it's all about the individual getting better grades and doing better on their test, then they'll understand that this is not a problem. So again, I'm going to go into education in a minute, but number two is lack of progress. Number three, the third reason why people quit is the fear of injury. Not only does this stop people from coming to your school, it prevents people from entering in the first place. If you can control the risk of injury, and you will release many people of stress. Again, there are two sides to the coin. Martial arts are a contact sport, and a confusing thing to me is how people join and then quit due to getting injuries. Obviously, you know, we're throwing punches and kicks. If they get hurt, they got to assume that they're going to be doing this stuff. But it's almost like comparing football to badminton. The goal is to tackle and rough each other up, and that's how the game is played. Just recently, I saw a commercial for a product. I can't even remember the product, and that's not to say much for their marketing, but it was a team of four guys playing competition badminton, and in the end, due to the ferocity of the game, someone ended up with the actual badminton thing, I don't even know what it's called, stuck in the guy's leg. So why would you be surprised if he got hit too hard or got a bloody nose in a martial arts school? But still, to my amazement, this happens on a daily basis where kids quit or parents let them quit because they got injured. So fear of injury is a top thing. And remember, we've all heard this fear. The acronym for fear is false expectations appearing real. Again, if we educate our clients on what to expect, we will take away a lot of the quit students. We'll get rid of a lot of the people who quit due to the fear issue. Number four is two factors. One you can't control, but one comes from what I call the Italian poet. It's called Funzolo. You know, when your funds are low and you don't have money, or money is tight, you can't pay for things that you want. This is a hard fact to deal with, and very often it's only a budgeting issue. So I suggest talking to the clients and explaining to them that they have options. You may ask, what are the options, right? And if you don't have options, and the person, you know, doesn't know what to do, then they're eventually going to quit. But if you give them options on money, then you'll be able to help them. So, for instance, humans are survivors, and if they feel that they need to cut back to the bare minimum, they'll do that to experience pleasure. Very often, if you show them that they could achieve both things without cutting back, you're going to kind of win them over as a student and keep them. So you can offer them to put down a bigger deposit, maybe have lower monthly payments. You can offer them a lesser plan. If you don't have one, maybe make one up. There are many ingenious ways to keep these people from quitting and working this out. The second factor, of course, in the equation on a student quitting is also them moving out of the area, having to move out of the town or state. And this one, there's absolutely nothing you can do about it unless you have an online training program they can continue with when they're away. Number five, the last but not least in the section of why people quit or students quit is simple. They lose their steam, motivation, and sight of why they started in the first place. This is directly tied into education, which I'm going to talk about in a minute. And it also involves how you set up your curriculum and the monitoring of your students. For example, as students walk through the door, I speak to them on a regular basis. I let them know how they're doing, and I check on their attendance. And if they're not making regular classes, I ask them why. I also suggest how they can do better. And due to my program, which I call Perfect Attendance Reward System, which is on taking it to the next level, I continually remind the students and parents of how many more classes they have in order to achieve and get their reward. If you aren't aware of this program, you can check it out on my site at takingittothenextlevel.com. Some of my clients are using it, and they really see it as a great way of retaining students and exciting them. In fact, this month in my school, we've had over 100 students receiving Perfect Attendance Rewards. So the key to lowering your dropout rate, the key is absolute education. I suggest that you start an educational forum immediately within your school. Your educational forum should consist of many avenues to communicate to the students of the whys they shouldn't quit and the whys that they're there in the first place, and also why they should stay. You need to educate them on this, because if they don't get the education from you, they don't know any better. You also need to educate them on the hows, how to stay motivated, how to motivate a demotivated child, how to stay on target and continue progressing, how to practice at home, and so on. How do you motivate yourself when you're feeling down, lazy, or out of the swing of things? That's the question, so we need to educate our clients on that. Then you should educate your clients on the do's and don'ts of martial art training. For example, overtraining could be just as easily a recipe for disaster as undertraining. So I'm sure if you brainstorm with your team, you could come up with quite a large list of all the different areas of how they can continue in your school and why they stay and why they quit. Here's a homework assignment for you. Sit down with your staff or your students and ask them all the reasons why they think a student quits. Also ask them why they think a student stays involved in the martial art. Martial arts is all about consistency, so most importantly, you want to find a way to rewrite these lessons into a script so that when a student comes up to you and says to you they're quitting for a specific reason, you have a way of explaining to them why this is not a good answer and why that they shouldn't do that. You should overcome their objection or their excuse. So your homework assignment is to sit down with your staff and your students and ask them all the reasons why they think they quit and why they stay, and then come up with a script or a plan of action of what you'll say if a person comes with you with that specific excuse. Remember, a parent is less likely to allow their child to quit if they buy into your vision. If the struggle of getting them to your school far outweighs the long-term benefits, then they're going to quit. But I always use the analogy that a parent must teach their child why they shouldn't smoke. You know, they don't approach that by saying, let them try it, and if they eventually do it, well, even if it's bad for them, we'll let them do it. You know, they need to decide on their own. But the parents need to be proactive. They need to step up and make decisions on their own as to why the child should stay in the martial arts or why the student, you should tell the student they should stay in the martial arts. If they don't know the reasons themselves, then you'll lose them immediately, and you'll also lose the child. Education is the key to success on retention. I use smoking as an example continuously. It's still perplexing to me that people still do it. We've established that it's a deadly habit, and there's no doubt in anyone's mind that it will eventually kill them if they continue doing it, yet people still are smoking. You want to know why? They don't look into the future. The people who smoke are looking for that immediate pleasure. They're not looking into the future. So smoking, in my opinion, should be looked down upon as a disgusting habit or as something uncool or something that's vile, and eventually people will stop. We need to shift perspective. It's not just about saying that it's killing them, their coffin nails and all this other stuff, because people know that. Sometimes, in fact, they look at it as still being rebellious and cool, and it gives them an edge. So even people find it sexy, but when using smoking as an example, we have to change their perspective. So we have to change our client's perspective if they believe that quitting is an okay thing. And our education, just alone with our perfect attendance reward system, has to do the same thing. And we change people's mentality about regular training. And we believe that, you know, when we give out a perfect attendance reward, it's cool for the person who gets it, whether they be a child or an adult. And we're motivating them to strive for this kind of status in our school of coming on a regular basis. Regular attendance is imperative. A person's going to the gym to work out once a month never sees results, so therefore, it doesn't matter too much to them if they quit. But someone who is going to the gym on a regular basis, losing weight and getting in shape of their lives, they'll always stick with it as long as they're establishing a routine and they see and feel what the future holds. Another thing is to educate all of our students' parents on the value of routine. The goal is not to bring the students here and there among play dates, parties, and other hobbies. The martial arts is a key life skill, and I believe educating the parents on this as well as getting them used to a routine is going to increase our retention. In my schools, we establish our goals immediately within our first contact. We want students and parents to realize that our program is not a hobby. It's not just fun. It's not just a basic activity. It's life-changing. We want parents and students to realize that it's also a commitment, not a huge one, but it's a commitment. So we establish it early on. And what it takes to succeed, we want them to know what it takes to succeed and be the best that they can be and, simply put, get their money's worth. So some of you may be saying this is all common sense, and when others may be saying that, wow, I really need to focus on this area of my schools, the key is to develop a plan of action to make sure that we continually follow up and follow through. This is one thing that I find lacking in many martial arts school owners, the ability to stick to a plan of action for a long period of time and follow up and follow through with it. If you do, the results are evident. And here are some tools that you need to be using to reach the ultimate level of success within a school. If I were to give you five rules, I believe to be these are the five most powerful rules in a martial arts school. Number one, in new sales, you have to have a sales binder for new prospects, showing them the vision of what the future holds. And you also have to work with them and explain to them what they're getting involved with, because many of them don't know. They're just riding on the adrenaline of the excitement of class. Number two, you have to have a welcome to the family packet for all new students, with the information on your school, the rules and regulations, all the things that go on, the different special events, and so on and so forth. In the welcome to the family packet, you'll also go over with them on how they could get referrals, and also all the things about quitting and retaining and keeping students is important, because that has to be explained to the student and the parent ahead of time. Number three, you should definitely do a two-week post-sign-up sit-down. You know, we, after our students join our school, 2 weeks later we do a sit-down appointment with them to go over any questions they have, any things that they may have missed, and also to go over all the things that we do that are available to them that will help benefit their lives tremendously. Then we continue with what our 2-4-6-8-10 we call system after the appointment. This is imperative, and it'll keep you up to date on all the things that are going on a parent's mind, that are in their head, and also what the students are feeling. Remember, it's all about communication. You need to speak to them to find out what's going on. One simple little thing that happens in class could easily get a student to quit. They could have gotten hit too hard. Something could have happened, and we don't know about that. And all of a sudden, I see a decline in attendance. There's going to be a problem. And number four is you should keep track of attendance. You should have some sort of attendance tracking system. Not only do I use MarshallSoft, I also use a hard card that I developed, and it's on taking it to the next level. If you ask me what I use more, I would say that I use the hard card more. We use more of the computer-based stuff for promotion parameters and attendance lists and record keeping and billing. But the hard card that I have gives me a pulse on each student and allows me to see the trends in their attendance and speak to them right then and there as they walk through the door, as well as speaking to the parents. Every day I'm sitting behind my desk. When they walk in, I step away and I bring my cards out and I start taking out the cards. I look to see who's been training and who hasn't. And I also speak to the parents immediately. It also helps me to encourage demotivated students, but also to compliment the model students. It also allows me to keep an active count of what's going on in their training. And it's similar to a report card. It gives me progress from week to week and month to month. And it also ties into my perfect attendance reward system. And number five is kind of a blend of different things. You need to have systems for sign-ups, fielding calls, setting up trial memberships, cold calls, and marketing. Okay? Now, there are systems and programs that are imperative to the success of any school. Who out there is saying, I thought this phone conversation was going to be about marketing and getting students, or hopping and popping? Everyone associates that a school should be hopping and popping during the summer if you get new enrollments because you're slow. But quite often we always end up back on the marketing. Most business owners think that marketing is the most important portion of their business, but to be honest with you, it truly isn't. Having the best marketing campaign in the world is really not as important as having the best product in the world. Although, just so you don't hang up, we're going to go over some marketing strategies in a minute. But my example holds entirely true using the new Webkinz as a model. Now, I don't know if you have Webkinz where you are, but my daughter received this thing called Webkinz. It's a little stuffed animal about a year ago. She got it as a gift, and it didn't really excite her too much. The thing wasn't that good looking. And for all of you that don't know, Webkinz is a stuffed animal that has a website attached to it, and you get a birth certificate and a password to the Webkinz World website. Well, anyway, a few months later, my daughter finally picked up the Webkinz because she started to hear a buzz, and all her friends were talking about it, and she's now hooked. She's got over 20 of them, and it's an ingenious idea that ties the stuffed animals to an interactive website where she could sit and play and interact with other people around the country. Anyway, it's amazing, and it's free. But the goal is, from the website, is to keep the Webkinz dolls, the stuffed animals, flying off the shelves, and that they are. So much so that they're doubling, tripling, and even quadrupling their prices, selling on eBay now, and ridiculousness is going on. I don't know if this was their strategy, but for me, I stopped buying them for my daughter because it was insulting to me to ask $30 to $40 for something that was originally $12. And I believe that if the company was prepared to understand that their marketing campaign would have quadrupled their sales, and they were prepared to supply the product, they would have done much better than they are now. So the question remains is the marketing thing the most important? The answer is not if you don't have all the systems in play and ready to go and professional already to support what your marketing can bring in. I know some of you may be saying, well, that's the least of my worries. Let me deal with that. And you know, rather than not deal with students coming through the door. But we understand that the goal is to have the systems in place so that we can keep the students and retain them. Think about this. If you only boosted your retention by 5% more than you have in the past, it would be a large amount more people training in your school at the end of the year. Your goal should be to put all your systems in effect to keep students happy. And you need to start with the five things that I mentioned, and I'm going to list a few at the, you know, and about the educational forum as well. So, you know, it's important for you to realize that marketing is not only about external marketing that brings students through the door. It's also about retention. And sometimes you have to market to your existing students not only to keep them, but you have to market to them to keep them motivated and progressing forward. Plus, there's a whole host of things that you could be doing that will keep students, you know, buying new products. It could be upgrades, renewals, it could be special events, summer camp, team leadership, character development programs, all the other different events that you do. So I ask you, should it be slow during the summer? The answer is absolutely not. The key to summer enrollment, of course, is retention. And then, of course, there's some marketing. So you broke me down. I'm going to go into the marketing section before some of you just hang up the phone. So let me quickly tell you a little story about a guy who ran a hot dog stand. This man had the perfect spot with high visibility traffic and ease of parking. He also had a superior product. Everyone loved his hot dogs. Not only was he selling hot dogs, but he had other things like sausage and peppers and meatball heroes, unheard of usually in a roadside hot dog stand. But he was famous in his town, and once the word got out, he had people traveling to eat at his stand from far, far away. This man made a considerable amount of money and developed into quite a businessman, reading Forbes magazine. He started investing in the stock market and really began to make a great deal of money. He prided himself on the cutting edge, being on the cutting edge, even though his bottom line income was derived from hot dogs. One day when reading the New York Times, he read that there was a predicted downturn in the economy, and he realized that if he was going to prosper, he had to scale back operations so that he didn't overspend and lose money. He then met with his accountant, and they looked at his expenses and realized that he was spending a great deal of money on marketing. So even if the marketing was making him a huge profit, he decided to cut back on his marketing to coincide with the recession. And he made it clear that he was going to do this just until the recession ended. Well, being a good businessman, it was beautifully timed and executed, and he cut back on the marketing, and the trend started to turn the way he had heard and read, and his business slowed down. He watched his expenses, and he was really able to ride out the storm, still making quite a hefty profit. But after 6 months or so, later on, he read another article that came out in the Times stating that things were getting better. So right away, he went back with his accountant. They reevaluated, and they started back on the same budgeting marketing campaign that he had originally. Again, perfectly timed. The customers started spending again. They started showing up. He was truly a great businessman. He looked at this as a success. But what he really didn't see was that the prediction had nothing to do with the bottom line. The truth was that he cut his marketing, and so he lost clients. So simply, if people don't know about you, then they can't buy from you. I've been in my main headquarters location for 16 years. I advertise, we do door hangers, we do so many things, and I'm going to give you a list of so many things that we do. But shockingly enough to me, every single month coming through the door is someone that asks me, did you just open up today? When did you open? This year? And I say, no, we've been here for 16 years. How long have you been in the area? And they say, well, I've been here my whole life. And I'm saying, how could you have missed me for 16 years? You know, I don't have, a small building. I have signs all over. My parking lot is always chaotic, so there's always cars here. So I wonder, how could someone miss me? The key really is that if I'm not out there, getting the name out there, talking about my school on a regular basis, then I'm not going to have people coming through the door. So what do we do on a regular basis to get things hopping and popping in your school this summer? I'm going to give you a list of 20 items of marketing, and I'll breeze through them. And then just so you know, if you try to write them down and you can't, it's okay, because over the next few weeks, I'm going to be sending this teleconference out in an email format, and it's going to have everything that we just spoke about. And, of course, you know that you could always email me at RenshiLiNinja@AOL.com. That's RenshiLiNinja@AOL.com, and I'll send you over an outline or a brief summary of what we did. So here's 20 top items that I use in marketing. Number one, you have to make sure that you have a referral program in place. If not, get one or ask me. Joining Next Level will do this for you. TakingItToTheNextLevel.com has the entire referral layout for you on the program. But I get hundreds of students a year from referrals. And if you don't have a referral program and you're not marketing your referral program by talking about it in class, hanging posters in the lobby, talking to the new students about it when they first enroll, calling them up on the phone, sending them postcards, then you really don't truly have a referral program in place. So number one, get a referral program. Number two, do buddy weeks regularly throughout the entire year, not just once in a blue moon. Every single month or every 5 weeks, you should have a buddy week. Next week we have ours. We'll probably get 20 or 30 people to come through the door. Who knows how many will sign up, but you have to have a regular system in place that the students know when buddy week is, so they just start bringing people down. And if I were you, I would develop, and I have this again on Taking It to the Next Level, is a buddy day postcard where we actually give it to the students so that they could give it to their friends, and their friends bring it home and fill it out, and their parents give me their email, phone number, telephone number, address, and so on, and we continually market to them after they come down to our school. Number three, have special seminars, events, and parties to encourage more participation. During the summer, when people are out having fun and they're in that mode, that mindset, where they're going to take off and relax, you need to do things that will encourage them to come in. I recommend a few things. Here they are, and this is number four. Have field trips, special days, park training day, beach training day, movie day, crazy hair day. One of my buddies did every Wednesday ice cream day for the summer, where they'd come in, they'd train, then they'd get a scoop of ice cream when they left. They literally had the containers of ice cream in their freezers, and it was fun. He said that enrollment was up during the summer. So this is important, to have special events. Number five, get out. And I repeat, get out, get off the chair, get out of the school and network with all the local businesses of like-minded professionals. They don't have to be the same business. It doesn't have to be gyms and cardio and aerobic centers. In fact, that those people might not work with you because they're afraid of losing clientele. But deal with other business owners that are like-minded, that want to grow their businesses and utilize what I consider co-op marketing. Market with them. Hand out their flyers. They hand out your flyers. Put your flyer on the top of the pizza boxes. In return, you'll hand out a flyer in your welcome to the family packet for the pizza guy. You know, do other things that will help you market your school. Get out and network with people. Do some inexpensive grassroots marketing. Number six, this is. Do some inexpensive grassroots marketing, such as door hangers, postcards, flyers, posters, road signs, VIP passes. Those are tons of things that you could be doing on a regular basis to market your school. Number seven, get out there and meet people. Give away free memberships. Standing in a shopping center with a clipboard, doing a little bit of an interview to find out if people are interested still in physical fitness, or if they ever wanted to find out more about martial arts. Get their email, get their address, give them a free month of lessons to your school. There's no reason why you can't do this. If you do this all day, 7 days a week, you're bound to get one or two students to come down. The problem is that, you know, people don't get out there and do it. Just this morning, while waiting online for my morning bagel and coffee, I gave out three business cards. That easy. I mean, I'm talking it up, and one lady heard me say that I did martial arts. The other guy chimed in, and boom, three business cards. I gave out a week free pass to all three of these people. Of course, who knows if they're going to show up, but if you're not out there doing it, it's not going to happen. Number eight, set up booths at a fair, baseball stadiums, local events, carnivals, anywhere people congregate. That's where you should be with your passes. And if you don't want to do it, pay someone to go out and do it, but make sure the person that is out there doing it has the right personality, because they could easily turn people off if they don't. Number nine, offer free parties to all your students. Read more about this in my Unbirthday article that I wrote at Member Solutions. It's in their archives, but we've done quite well with this. We've given out probably about 20 parties so far this year, probably signed up maybe about 10 students from it. Now, we've had probably out of the 20 parties, 300 members come through the door. Oh, so we signed up maybe about, 8%, and, you know, I think that that's pretty good. the statistics don't have to be dramatic, but, you know, as we get better at it, hopefully we'll get better at signing up more people. But the goal is to get people through your door, to experience what you do, to get your company name out there and get goodwill into the community. So give out free parties. Number 10, call old students, all the ones who quit. Doesn't matter if it was 10 years ago. Call them up and say hello. They may want to come back. You never know. They may have children by now. Call all missed appointments, people who never showed up, people that have come in and tried out a class who didn't join. Offer them a free or summer special, a discounted buy 2-1, get 1 month free. You know, join and buy, give them a 2-for-1 special where they come in with a buddy and they only pay for one person. Anything you could do to bring people out. Do a summer special for siblings. That's number 11. You know, get them out there and tell all the relatives, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, parents, if they could get a summer special. Number 12, encourage your students to help with the marketing efforts. This is important. Ask them to go out and promote your school. Get the students to go out there on a regular basis and talk you up. Give out your card. Give out VIP passes and free passes. Talk about your summer camp. Try to bring people in for Buddy Week and so on. Number 13, do a summer camp for either 1 week or the entire summer. This is a huge income generator. And even if you only got 20 people and you charge them $200, that's a large amount of money. You know, summer camp doesn't have to be a babysitting service. You don't necessarily have to do it every single week of the summer. My one buddy from Nakato Schools of Self-Defense, Sean John Oschlager, always has this unbelievably crazy week of summer camp where he has like 100 people come. It's crazy money, too. He charges them $200. It's a lot of money, $20,000 for a week. It's crazy. Okay, number 14, push for upgrades. If you don't have them, develop them. If you don't have a program A, a program B, a program C, if you don't have Black Belt Club, Masters Elite, Elite Elite, you know, you don't have, if you don't have those, develop them. And if you do have them, push them. You know, set out together a certain system and when you'll market to those students. You know, when a person is with you 6 months, then you start pushing Black Belt Club. When they're with you a year, you start pushing Masters Elite. When they're with you for 2 years, you push the other one. You know, you have to have upgrade programs in effect, and you have to be able to utilize them. Number 15, I lost my track there for a minute, just barely. Yeah, number 15, we've done bookmarks with two-week free passes. And we also utilize those, just like we're going to use our postcards, and we're going to slide them in the car door, the area between the window and the molding in shopping centers, and we're going to give out thousands of them on a regular basis. The key is to become the most famous person in your town. Number 16, do cold calling. There's nothing that says that you can't call within a three-mile radius of your school just to introduce yourself to somebody and let them know that you're willing to give them a free month membership at your school. Or you could find a company that does it. If you're not good at it and you don't want to do it and you don't have the time, find a company that does cold calling and start a marketing campaign. Work out a deal with them. Work out a commission. For every one that they sell, you'll give them $25. For every person they get to come through the door, you'll give them $25. Number 17, do lead boxes. Get the lead boxes, those plastic boxes, and put them in all the local businesses surrounding your school. Give a one-month membership or a two-month membership out for free, including the uniform for all the winners. And everyone is a winner, wink, wink. You know, that everyone who puts their name in is a winner. Maybe you'll give out maybe a three-month membership as the grand prize out of every box. But the key is to get people to come to your school, and you call them up and you offer them a free-month membership. Number 18, do some income generators during the summer. You know, these things are so important, keeping people involved. Do a movie night, do a kick pad seminar for the parents so they could come in and train, which is also a retention item that we use on Next Level on a regular basis. And you could do a movie night, you could do obstacle courses, you could do gladiator night, you could just do a hangout night where all the teenagers come in and just hang out and they bring their friends and you supply food. Whatever. The whole goal is to get people to come to your school. In fact, I have a friend, he might be on the line, but he did a wine and cheese night where after he did self-defense seminar, they had wine and cheese afterwards, and he had like 30 people, 30 women at this event. So number 19, offer your services to local teams. There's nothing to say that baseball players, baseball teams, football teams, soccer teams are the enemy. Although that they are our competition, why don't we tie into them and see if the coaches will allow us to come and help them motivate their students, utilize all the skills that we do as martial art instructors, which we're experts at motivational speech, motivational speaking, and so on. We should be out there offering our, you know, for me, how to fall and roll is just a key component, football, baseball, soccer. also teaching them about hand-eye coordination, all the things that we do, we could go down and do it for free at one of the baseball teams or at the field, or go down to the local fields where everyone plays and offer your services to the coaches, or just be there to hand out flyers saying that if you come in after baseball season, you get a discount, so on and so forth. And number 20, to top it off right now, is to do a special pizza party and have it become a bring-a-friend night. It doesn't have to be for any reason. Just say next Friday is going to be a pizza party, or do a bowling night, or do a movie night where everyone gets together and meets at a movie theater to see the next karate movie, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, or whatever. But just make a special event keeping people engaged, active, and excited. I find that my martial arts school is building momentum based on what we call our family synergy, and everyone is so excited to be in our school for the simple fact that they're a part of something bigger. And they build the friendships and families. I mean, I'm learning to sit down with the parents and talk. In fact, last night I had a mom come to me. She said, this has nothing to do with martial arts, but could you give me your opinion on this? You know, my daughter, who's only 11 years old, has a friend who's a boy in school, and he keeps talking about getting high and doing drugs and having sex. And she wanted to know, she asked me, should I go to the guidance counselor or the principal? Should I talk to them? And I absolutely told her that she should, but it was interesting how she trusted me as, you know, an outside opinion, but as an expert with children. And I thought that was exciting. That's all part of the educational process that I work with on a regular basis in educating my parents. Let me quickly give you an idea of what we utilize to get through to the parents. And if some of you guys want to, if you're not already on my email list, email me at RenchiLiNinja@AOL.com, and I will put you on my email list, and then you guys could just be a fly on the wall to see what I do and how I communicate with my clientele, the newsletters that I sent out. In fact, recently for a lot of my clients, I sent out a list of promotions, a letter on promotions, and a lot of school owners that received it asked me if they could use the letter and send it to their students. So I was quite flattered. But if you're interested, please email me, and I'll put you on my email list. These are the avenues that I use for communication, my communication network. I use a email newsletter company called Constant Contact, and that's constantcontact.com. I believe I got their name from one of the other existing Member Solutions clients. But anyway, I use that on a regular basis, and I send out newsletters and press releases and information on a regular basis to my clients via email. I also use another company called audiogenerator.com and videogenerator.com, where I can do an on-the-fly video and audio tape and send it out in email. And I find it to be amazing. I also utilize their tools in my Taking It to the Next Level site. So for those of you that don't like to read, would love to listen as you're multitasking or doing other things or download it and so on, you could do that. And I have audio generators and video that you could see my and listen to my video and audio as you're, you know, learning how to run the school or certain specific topics and so on. So I use the audio and video, and I use the email. Those are three avenues. I also do hard flyers where a student comes in, I hand them a flyer right there in the classroom. We also have poster boards in our lobby where we have our flyers blown up to, you know, 3x3s, and they're on easels. We also do a whiteboard where we handwrite in notes to the clients, as well as speaking about what we're doing within the classroom or a quick plug in the class, and afterwards we'll tell the students when they're leaving to grab the flyer and so on. So there's many avenues of marketing, and of course it's within our client base, and some of you might be out there saying, well, I only have 30 students. There's only a certain amount of people to market to. Well, this is where, you know, you start. As you grow, you continue, and this is the key. So I've given you a list of 20 different things, and I'm sure, you know, coming up with ideas for marketing is simple. I'm not sure if you can attest to it, but getting it done is the hard part. Our goal is to burst into action and get the ball rolling. The only reason why you are ever slow is a lack of marketing, and also all the systems that I told you about. And remember, it's always a lack of follow-up and follow-through with consistency. That's the key. Consistency. Okay, so in closing, I'd like to say it's my goal to motivate you today, but quite often I know I feel frustrated at times when I hear people speaking of all the things like I did today, and sometimes my head is spinning. So I don't want you to leave with your head spinning today. I don't want you to leave with frustration. I want you to leave with motivation. And I know it's easier said than done. But my advice to you is to start by putting a small plan into action. Don't bite off more than you can chew and say, yeah, I'm going to run with that. Allie just said, let's do lead boxes. You know, make sure that you think things through. I'd be more than happy to talk to you on email to work with you and help you. And anybody out there who knows me knows that I'm always emailing my clients and my friends and all the people at Member Solutions. I have no problem. I've also given out my cell phone on a number of occasions. So if you're interested in getting it, go back on some of the older, you know, conferences and find that cell phone number. You can call me anytime. And I want to give you advice, and I want you to say start by putting a small plan in action. And I recommend putting one item to work every month. If you want to be bold and really go out there and ambitious, maybe put one item to work every other week. If you really feel good about yourself, do one item a week. But you have to add to your arsenal of marketing tactics. You have to have a very strong marketing campaign and work continuously to do it. And as I know you, you could do it. And I could go on and on, as you know. And I think that this is really where we should leave off, because it's a very powerful topic. You know, there's no reason why you should have a slow month ever. Spring, summer, winter, or fall. There really isn't. If it's slow, think about the next time you're slow as you having a lack of follow-up or follow-through or planning. So when times are slow, it's because you didn't prepare ahead of time. You want to make sure that all the times that you're now, that you believe it to be slow, is when you're going to step up the marketing, step up the ideas. Think, quite frankly, ask yourself the question, what could I do to make things change? You know, like JFK said, you know, it's not, don't ask the country what the country could do for you, but what you could do for the country. Ask yourself what you could do to make your school more active. What could you do to make it better? Don't just sit back, because every day is a wasted day if you're not doing something. So in closing, I want to say to all of you that the technologies I speak about are available on takingittothenextlevel.com, and I'd love to speak to you more on email. My email is renshilininja@AOL.com. That's renshilininja@AOL.com. And without a doubt, sign up for a free 20-minute consulting call. And I'm sure that we could do as many of them as you'd like. I do them 3 times a month for about 4 hours a day. And I'm available to talk to you about any topic, on any idea. And it's one-on-one. You never have to feel embarrassed. You could ask me anything if it's about finances. And if I can help you and I have information that's good for you, I'll share it with you freely. You know, that's what I'm here for. Good luck on your summer campaign. We'll talk about this again next month a little bit more in detail. And look forward for this email that's coming out, which has a basic overview of what I just gave you. Thanks so much, everybody.